Online. Coming up next is Art Focus. Art Focus talks to art historian and scholar Elizabeth Ballou about the new show Witness at the Halle Ford Museum in Salem. But first, this announcement.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Whiskey Dixie and the Big Wet Country, playing now through October 13th at the Imago Theater in Portland. Whiskey Dixie and the Big Wet Country is a raunchy outlaw country musical about a sexually frustrated cowgirl on a tragic comic ride from hell who will do whatever it takes to get off. Written by local award-winning and Grammy-nominated songwriter Amanda Richards and directed by Sarah Pope, this off-color comedy offers a feminist perspective into a world of dive bars, drunks, and country music. Again, that's Whiskey Dixie and the Big Wet Country, playing now through October 13th at Imago Theater, 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Elizabeth Ballou. She's the curator of a show called Witness, Themes of Social Justice in Contemporary Printmaking and Photography, which is on now at the Halle Ford Museum at Willamette University in Salem. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks, Joseph. It's good to be here.
So you teach art at Portland Community College, but you got to curate this show in Salem. I think it took a couple of years. Is that right?
It took a couple.
And it's all drawn from the collections of Jordan Schnitzer and his family foundation. And Witness is the name of the title. But one of the main pieces, one of the first pieces you see, is also called Witness. And it's by Marie Watt, who people know from Portland. They might have seen her blanket, piles of blankets, sculptures around. So what is this picture, Witness? It's strange. It's black and white, but there's a red blanket flying through the air.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty quiet, understated work for Marie Watt. And it is an etching, a copper plate etching. It's in black and white. And when you look at it, the contrast of black and white is pretty intense. And you're drawn into sort of the lower left-hand side and realize that it's a group of people standing together, and they're looking away from the viewer at this building. And there is a family on top of the building, as you look even closer, throwing a blanket off the building. And the blanket, she's made the blanket red, so that red is a contrast and is what at first catches your eye. And it's sort of flying, floating through the air.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it could be a human jumping, but it's just a blanket, right?
Yes, it's just a blanket, sort of diving down. Well, she takes this from a photograph that she found, a 1913 photograph, so it's over 100 years old. And it's a photograph of a Native American potlatch from 1913. She pretty much reproduces the photograph, except making the blanket red. And I think it's pretty amazing that the photographer was able to capture that blanket floating through the air, and I think that's what her ideas revolve around. But she titles the print made from the photograph Witness, and Witness comes up in a number of the titles in the works in this exhibition, and so that is what inspired the title. She talks about, Marie talks about just being fascinated by this photograph and coming back to it over and over again in her work. And she points out that in 1913, and as it had been for decades, potlatches were illegal in Canada and the U.S.
Mm-hmm. What is a potlatch?
So a potlatch is a ceremony of giving, a Native American ceremony of giving, and it's typical in the Pacific Northwest. And it's really important as a member of a community to be able to be a part of this, to carry on the tradition. And so in 1913, this was a moment of civil disobedience, really, carrying on the Native American traditions, but also doing something illegal. And she, she really focuses on the crowd gathering below and participating. And then she ties this to the resistance that we've seen recently from the protests, protests of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
So why is it? Why are they throwing a blanket?
They're giving. They're giving.
Oh, the people on the roof.
It's ecstatic giving, and they're giving blankets. And blankets are very important in Marie's practice. They signify many things to her, and she talks about this as a sort of transportation object to, you know, something that wraps around you, but something that has great value.
And if you just look at her picture without any context or writing or the original photo, can you tell it's to do with resistance today or, you know, Dakota access, any of that?
No. I mean, and it clearly looks historical. The clothing looks historical. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, no, you
so it's a kind of mystery object. You've got to ask her.
Yeah.
Really.
Right.
Right. And you've made this one of the upfront pictures in the exhibition.
This is the first one that you see as you come into the gallery. And I like it because it's one of the smaller works in the exhibition. And because of that, it makes you step closer, look at it a little harder, and hopefully prepares the viewer for that kind of close look as they move through the galleries.
Mm-hmm. So another picture close by is by Warrington Colescott. It's called Underneath the Oval Office, and it's a sort of caricature of what goes on in big politics, you know, and it's our good friend Dick Cheney is right in the middle of it. You can't miss it. If you're over 20, you probably have memories of Dick Cheney.
Yes.
So it's a sort of horrible satire of big money and corruption and everything in politics. But which Colescott is this, Warrington?
So most people in Portland who are looking at art have seen Robert Colescott and his paintings. Well, Warrington is Robert Colescott Scott's brother, and he's the one who made this particular print. It's very different from Marie Watt's print, and it is densely filled with caricatures of recognizable political figures from 2004, including Dick Cheney, and the space in it is skewed and filled, and he's created these sorts of layers, with the Oval Office being on top, and you can see figures like Bush, you know, as a wind up toy, and Condoleezza Rice descending the stairs into the next level. And it reminds me, you know, very much of like the Dante's Inferno, the levels hell.
There's three levels, and the bottom level is sort of FBI, CIA.
Yeah, interrogations.
Torture. Yeah, yeah. And this is all about the Iraq War. This
yes.
is, was this painted around then? Made around then?
He made this, this print around in 2004 as a reaction to the Iraq War. And he started doing this sort of work in college. He was a journalist in college and would make caricatures and commentary, social and political commentary. And so this is the way his work went.
Right. And this is everything in the show is a print. So this is a color etching. Do you know how he made it? Like the carpet, the background is all yellow.
Mm-hmm.
A few people are picked out in red, but mostly it's sort of black and gray or light blue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how he would have made this?
Yeah, so an etching, I'm not a printmaker, I'm an art historian, but the basics that I know, and even I think printmakers can't always figure out how other printmakers made their prints, but he'll take a metal plate, copper plate, and usually coat it with a resist, and then carve and draw into that sort of waxy resist, and then the etching comes when they dip it into acid, and creates the marks and especially lines. And so in creating, and then that would be inked, treated, and then inked and printed multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So with a color etching, though, I mean, we see yellow here and we see red that pops out at us. And so every color will be a different plate. The artists will, unless, you know, sometimes they go in and hand color it. But you can pretty much bet that in printmaking, each color will be a different plate. So it's quite a process.
You mean a totally yes. separate metal plate? Mm-hmm. Not just one that's been no. painted a different color?
Right.
Oh, okay.
And with, you know, relief prints, woodcuts, also each color is a different plate.
How do they make sure it's the same image every time?
they have to align it, and they have all kinds of devices that they use. But a good print will be well aligned, and so you won't be able to see that it's been run through the press multiple times.
Mm-hmm. A piece by Fred Wilson called Exchange is very different. It's very abstract. It's basically two collections of dots. They kind of look like oil that's been dropped on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are tiny little speech bubbles all over. So the whole thing has a feel of a word cloud. It is a kind of a infographic. And then the speech bubbles are what? Where are they taken from, these little quotes?
So the in this one called Exchange, he's the speech bubbles he's taken from literature and theater, and he's looked at it, you know, for example, Othello, Shakespeare's Othello, Norman Mailer's The Crucible. Arthur Miller's The Crucible, and he pulls out quotes of characters of color, and repositions them in this way in the print, so that the meanings are changed, the meanings are cryptic. And all of the authors of the text are white authors. So he's playing on, you know, what would a white author, how would a white author write about a black character?
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts this together, and the image, I think, is really interesting, because it's sort of two circular, almost piles of dots.
Mm-hmm.
And he also uses a copper plate like the Warrington Colescott, but in this case, rather than drawing on it, he drips acid onto the plate, and there's a photograph of him standing up, you know, with a plate below him and then dropping it. And he uses the black dot in his sculpture and installations. He's known for his sculpture and installations and curating as an artist. So this is pretty different for him. but carries on that idea of the black dot and thinking about blackness and what it means to be black. He's African American.
So there's two collections of black dots joined in the middle by other dots. So
yeah.
It looks like a barbell, looks like a small hand weight. Do you know why it's arranged like that?
Well, I think, you know, and I don't know if the title came before the image, but it's called Exchange, as if the dots are sort of moving. I mean, it's even sort of, it looks like something you might see under a microscope in a mm-hmm. biology class.
Right.
It looks like the dots are moving from one spot to another. He's made other prints with the same process, and he has one that's just sort of it's in the catalog. It's not in the exhibition, but it's just a circular shape that's filled with dots flowing in and out. And that one's called Bang, as if, you know, as if it might relate to a shot or a shotgun, you know, a gun
right.
creating that explosion of
right.
spots.
Where's Fred Wilson based? Any idea?
No, but he was, he represented the United States in the Venice Biennale. It's been years. He is known for his curatorial practices and maybe became most well known for a project he did, I think it was in the 90s in Maryland, in which he sort of raided the historical society there of objects and installed them in the art museum in I think it was in Baltimore, but in repositioning the objects, he created, you know, a commentary about what we're viewing in museums, critiquing that. For example, he found the hood of a Ku Klux Klan member, and he put it in a baby carriage, and then had it in the exhibition. And so that disconnect, you know, you imagine walking up and seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's known for, you know, messing with expectations
mm-hmm.
and.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Elizabeth Ballou. She is an art history instructor at Portland Community College, and she's here to talk about Witness, Themes of Social Justice in Contemporary Printmaking and Photography. And these are prints from the collections of Jordan Schnitzer and his family foundation. This is a pretty big show. I mean, there's an awful lot to get through. We're just sampling here. We're not even very far into it now when we come across Hung Liu. And these are prints based on these little Chinese books, these penny books that you could get. They were like Dick and Jane readers, right?
Mm-hmm.
In China. Maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago, 50 years ago?
Yeah, maybe, you know, more like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
She grew up under Mao in China, and she talks about being fascinated as a child by these little books called Lian Hua Hua. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. And these were small books that had large illustrations and just a little bit of text or Chinese calligraphy on the pages. And they sold them at kiosks on the street. And she said this was like her library. You could go there and you could rent them, or you could buy them for just pennies. And new publications would come out regularly. The styles would depend on the artist. creating them. And so she pulls these particular images from sort of, it's sort of a social realist style. The cartoon, a style that you'd expect to see with social realism, sort of a bold black outline and flat flat colors. And there are two of these in which a mother is giving her child the flag of China. And then in the next print, he's waving it, and it looks like he's probably walking to school. And then there's a third that doesn't exactly go with those two, but it's part of the series called Happy and Gay. And this is a little boy flying a kite, and he has a sort of a pink suit on. Mm-hmm. He's in the landscape. And so she pulls from these books, and she talks about loving the styles and learning from those, but she says there are also propaganda. And her work is, in general, she's mostly known for her painting, and these are not as painterly as her other work is. But she grew up, she was actually re-educated because she grew up educated. So she worked in the countryside with the proletariat to be re-educated, and eventually moved to the United States. Mm-hmm.
To San Francisco.
She's in California.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool being a re-educated farmer.
And she did art education in China, but then also here, and taught for years at Mills College down there. She's recently retired. She's coming up to Salem for one of the lectures in November.
Did she just copy these, or are these her interpretation of what the kind of thing she saw?
Yeah, these are her interpretations. She's copying the style. Mm-hmm. So.
Right, but she's not making any particular commentary in this, is she, apart from the title?
Well, she does talk about when she was a child, and she was learning English, and so they would, you know, sing songs, recite poems the way you could repeat and learn English. And so there was one that she remembers from a poem that she remembers called, that is, "Come boys and come girls, let's sing, let's dance. It's our national day, and we are happy and gay." And so she would learn that in English, but it was about the national day in China. And so it was a sort of a propaganda piece, but it was in English. And she uses that poem as a jumping off point for titling and mm-hmm. the themes of these prints.
The exhibition is divided into sections. There's a section called The Pressures of Pop Culture. In there are 12 pictures all together, and they're by Wangechi Mutu. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they're based on like medical illustrations to do with uterine cancer, but she's taken them and, in a very kind of Francis Bacon way, turned them into grotesque faces. And she also uses like black glitter for hair, so they're very striking. They're behind glass, but they're you kind of want to touch them too, because the glitter is, you know, on the surface.
Yeah.
Who is Mutu, and
that's a great analogy to Francis Bacon, because that sort of horrific aspect is definitely there in these prints, and they are prints, but she has added the elements of collage to them. So Wangechi Mutu says, "I turn everything into a face so it can look back at me and tell me what it is." So they are 12 faces as you look at them. You have to look at them a little closer. They are collaged images, but they're all on top. Each one is on top of a different page from a medical text that she found. Or actually, I think someone gave it to her. And the title of the series is Histology of the Different Classes of Uterine Tumors. So they're black and white medical illustrations of tumors. And then on top of that, she has collaged images that she cuts from magazines. Mm-hmm. And
there's lots of big red lips and teeth. So from like fashion magazines?
Fashion magazines, from pornography. And just in looking, I mean, you can look at these forever. There's so much in them. But in looking at them, I've noticed that she tends to collage into the works body parts that are usually emphasized in the media. So the mouth or the eyes, arms and legs, even some genitals, so breasts. So those are then reconfigured. And the faces have this sort of otherworldly sense, almost like cyborgs. And so she's definitely thinking very much about the representation of women in the media, in culture. And she grew up, I think she's based out of New York now, but she grew up in Kenya. And grew up right after colonial unrest there, in which a lot of the Kenyans were mutilated. So, you know, imagining after a war and people without limbs, and so she grew up seeing this, and feels that plays in to her work, the way that she manipulates the bodies.
There are so many interesting pieces. That there is there's a work by Wendy Redstar, which people probably know her from around here. She often stages photos, and in this case it's a print of a bunch of like trailer homes, one on top of the other, and she picked out this blue, which was the cheapest blue paint on the reservation. There's another piece by Caitlin Cherry, which looks like a stage set photo. It's a can of Monster and some Doll's House stuff and glitter, and it's all white and sparkly. It's a photo. It's not, you know, it's that kind of a print. Those are pretty striking. And then Willie Cole, you should look out for one of his pieces. It's called Anime, meaning it's like the old, a kind of old lady's name, not meaning Japanese cartoons. It's an ironing board, and he's like gone snowboarding on an ironing board, right, and scratched the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And then what has he done, printed it or scanned it? Mm-hmm. Or photographed
he takes the ironing board and then they sled it, ski it down the hill until it's really flat, so a metal ironing board, and then they ink it and run it through the press with a piece of paper.
Onto paper.
Yeah.
Right, and he's got five of these, and you have one of them in the show. And then the postcard image is of a woman sitting on a chair, and that is by McLean Thomas, and the piece is called I've Been Good to Me. Mm-hmm. So who is that, briefly?
So in this one, McLean Thomas, it's a print, but she also collages the images, and she often draws on historical interiors. I don't know, I think especially from the 1970s, because that's what she grew up with. And in this one, she has included a photograph of a beautiful black woman sitting, very confident and proud, And in her work, in Micheline Thomas's work, she wants to represent the black woman in this way, in ways in which they haven't been represented traditionally in the media. So she photographs her friends and family and sometimes herself, but mostly her friends and family. And she talks a lot about photographing her mother. Her mother was a model, and she looked up to her mother quite a bit. So her mom appears in some of her work. But I really like the density of the fabrics and visual textures in her collages.
My name is Joseph Galvin. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Elizabeth Ballou. She curated Witness, which is on now at the Hallie Ford Museum of Art at Willamette University in Salem. And this show runs through December the 20th. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KBOO is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KBOO will be hosting Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Filmed in Watts in 1975, Killer of Sheep follows a working man in a moment of existential crisis, trying to make ends meet at a job he finds repugnant, and trying to connect with his family and community. The Library of Congress declared Killer of Sheep a national treasure and one of the first 50 films on the National Film Registry. Again, that's Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation.